Welcome back to the Born a Ball podcast on the special edition Saturday, November 16th. It is 2:45, and life caught up to me yesterday. Was deep into this Wyoming dynasty rebuild, and I just couldn't get off the game for some reason. I didn't eat all day. Like, I grinded that dynasty out, and we went 3-9 our first season. Right now we're 2-1 second season, but it's a grind, all right? That's why this episode is coming to you a day late. So unfortunately, there's no college football predictions, man. Right now on the TV, I got Clemson, Pitt, but we'll check in with college football. I'll talk about a little of the games later in the day. But yeah, man. Per usual on Fridays, we're gonna recap Thursday night football, Monday night football in a second. We'll talk about my second edition of NBA Team of the Week for the Born to Ball podcast. We'll also look into tomorrow's NFL slate. Looking pretty good. Hey, looking pretty fine tomorrow, but on a Saturday, we got a decent amount of talk about. Sorry, Pitt just got sacked. But yeah, a lot of talk about. So let's get into it. All right, so on Monday, I told you guys Dolphins Rams would probably be high scoring, very entertaining. But I ended up lying to y'all. Final score, of course, was 23-15. Tua Tagovailoa had 20 completions for 207 yards, one passing TD, and one interception. On that interception, he had the worst tackling technique I've ever seen for a guy that's trying to protect his head. But hell. Do your thing, man. Tyreek got into the end zone, but only at 27 yards. Overall, it's just a bad game. I thought it was going to be good, but there really isn't much to talk about for the Rams side of things. I mean, Puka nearly had 100. He had 90, 98. Cup had 7 and 80. I mean, a lot of these guys hit their overs, but hell, it was just a Joshua Cardi day, dude. He went 5 for 6 on field goals. I mean, he was their only points. Dolphins defense did their thing against this stellar offense, but shout out to Miami. They're keeping their season alive. They're sitting there 3-6. We look at their schedule real quick. You got games versus the Patriots, the Jets, Niners, Texans, Browns, Raiders. I mean, hey, you got winnable games. I think you can beat the Raiders, the Patriots. You can beat the Jets, and oh my God, Pitt. Sorry, Pittsburgh just gave up a damn near 50-yard touchdown to Cade Klubnik. Yeah. If I pronounce that wrong, I don't care, but come on, Pitt. Anyways, yeah, wasn't the best games, dog, on Monday Night Football. Cooper Kupp, Matthew Stafford, Puka, that offense didn't show up. Tua, Tyreek, Jalen Waddle, same thing, really didn't show up. So, overall, it was one of those mid-Monday Night Football games, so got to take it to the chin. I predicted wrong. It indeed was not a stellar game. But on Thursday, I want to call it a, what's that term? A fight in a phone box or something? Because at first, this game was very close. Nobody could get anything moving. Offensively, nobody could get much moving. But for Washington, that was the tale of the whole night. Unfortunately, they couldn't get nothing to move all night. For Philly, they eventually got their stuff right. Saquon nearly had 200 yards of scrimmage, 198 in total, and two tutties. A.J. Brown, 5 catches, 65 yards. Dallas Goedert, 5 catches, 61 yards. I mean, Washington, scary Terry, where's he at? Only had one catch and two targets for 10 yards. Zach Ertz, 6 catches for one TD. I mean, overall, the Commanders' offense, at least, wasn't really ready for this game. And like I predicted, the Eagles, this was a big game. I don't care what anybody says. I know it's a regular season game, but for we are what? Was that Week 11? Big game, all right? For the division lead, and Philly snagged that. I mean, Jalen Hurts did his job well enough, but Saquon, I mean, I don't know if a position player is going to get MVP, but I would give my vote to Saquon Barkley. He's just been killing it. If you ask me, Derrick Henry keeps it up. I wouldn't be shocked, if it was up between Saquon and Derrick Henry for Offensive Player of the Year. But hell, if I had a vote, my vote would go to Saquon for MVP, Offensive Player of the Year, Derrick Henry. But we know this is a quarterback's league, but all I can do is dream, and Pitt is embarrassing. Sorry, but back to Thursday Night Football, though. Yeah, the Commanders just weren't ready, and I won't blame them. You were on the road, but you can very well beat them at home. So good thing you can split this series. Commanders currently sit at 7-4. Eagles, I think, are 8-2. So this is very much still in the folds for Washington. The Eagles play the Ravens and I think Steelers down the stretch, and you of course play them again in Washington. So those are three games the Eagles could lose and I wouldn't be shocked. But those are three games they could win and I'd be like, okay, Philly is the second best team in the NFC, or hell, the best team in the NFC, and one of the best teams in the league all around. But overall, two solid games. I think Monday Night Football is mid. This game was just defense, the vision worked. Hey, I enjoyed it. You know, it wasn't the best games. I got on COD, started doing my thing. College football, you know, I'm a gamer. Yeah, that was corny as hell. But that's it for basically the NFL right now. Those are two games, you know, that really aren't worth talking about because, you know, they weren't insane. All I can say is for Washington, just keep your head up. You're very much still in the race to win this division. But hell, a wild card spot, year one of the Jaden Daniels and Dan Quinn era, not bad at all. But we're going to take a break from NFL, but we're going to still keep it on to football because we're going to check in with college football right now. I guess the big news of the day so far is Travis Hunter. He had an interception, a touchdown on the day. He also had a crazy fourth down catch. And, God, I felt like Ashton should be MVP, but Travis might have it after today. He just clutch plays on both sides of the ball. I mean, damn it. He's probably going to win it. I think he deserves it at this point. But if Ashton went off these final few weeks, he deserves it too. So, hell, I think this should be a split Heisman. We're seeing one of the greatest running back seasons of all time from Gene Team. And we're getting one of the best, I would say, players last decade or so in Travis Hunter. Because overall, I don't think his interception stats will be crazy enough to be like, yeah, that's crazy. His wide receiver stats aren't, you know, top notch. But, like, I would say they're both middle in the pack. I think he is one of the best corners in college football, or the best. So, I think it is his Heisman to lose right now. I don't know, man. If Ashton Jeanson can get them to the playoffs and Colorado's out, I would kind of give it to Ashton Jeanson because, you know, best player on the G5 representative in the playoffs. He deserves it, but, hell, it's all up in the air right now. But I think this should be a split Heisman. There's a strong case for both men. So I think both men deserve it. Give it to the split Heisman. But another news, I'm watching Pitt and Clemson on my TV right now. 39 seconds left in the game. ACC refs are terrible from what I've watched so far. Freaking Dabo Swinney's going to survive another week. But fortunately, Pitt still has life if you're a Clemson fan. So 39 seconds, one timeout. They can make some shake. College football's crazy, but other news, the early slate hasn't really been nothing crazy. Tulane blew the hell out of Navy. Liberty outlasted UMass 35-34. Ohio State dogged out Northwestern like probably everybody imagined. Oh, there you go, Pitt. Auburn, Peyton Thorne did his thing. Texas outlasted Arkansas. Pretty mid slate, I'm not going to lie, for the early afternoon, but right now, yeah, it's looking the same, dude. What the hell? Maybe you want to watch LSU in Florida, but you're probably going to, when you hear this podcast, you know, you'll probably already watch those games by then. But anyways, later tonight, though, yeah, the key game is Kansas State versus Arizona State. Two teams trying to get to the Big 12 championship. You know, they're still in it. If you want to watch Ashton Jeanson, Heisman favorite, not favorite right now, but one of the favorites, he takes on San Jose State University at 6 p.m. on CBS Network. Georgia versus Tennessee is the big one of the night. Georgia loses, they are out. I don't care. They need to be out. They need to. Tennessee gets this one. It'll be their best one of the season. BYU could be on upset alert versus Kansas, 3-6 at home, 9-15. Put some eyes on that. But overall, the slate's not bad, but the biggest takeaways are whoever wins this between Pitt and Clemson, and Travis Hunter is probably Heisman. Those are the biggest takeaways right now as for college football. So I'm sorry I couldn't really get into this and talk about it a lot, but hell, we're at least going to talk about it a little, man. Right now, we're going to talk about NBA. If something crazy happens between Pitt and Clemson, I'll interrupt that to talk about it. But right now, we're going to introduce the second edition of NBA Team of the Week for the Born to Ball podcast. Alrighty, man. For the second edition, you know, of the Born to Ball podcast, NBA Team of the Week. Ooh, it's a hefty list, man. A lot to choose from just from what I watched to box scores. A lot of people to choose from. Hell, I can give you a whole roster, whole NFL roster of ballers this week, but only six players made the team, and we have a lot of honorable mentions. So, for point guard, I think it's obvious. Last night, De'Aaron Fox dropped 60 points. And I mean, that's the point guard for the week. Next up, I got Cam Thomas for shooting guard. I know that's crazy. He dropped 43 points versus the Knicks in a close game. Jalen Brunson game winner. So that's who I'm going to go with. I had to pause that, man, but Pitt just lost his game. Heartbreaking. Anyways, like I said, shooting guard, Cam Thomas, point guard, De'Aaron Fox. At small forward, I got Giannis Antetokounmpo. 59 points, 14 rebounds, 7 assists, and he had a combination of 5 blocks and steals. I mean, he dominated in that Pistons game. Pistons couldn't stop him, and the Bucks win OT, a must-needed win, as you know, they're trying to get back to the top of the East, even though they've had a bad start. At power forward, I got Anthony Davis. He had 40 points, 12 rebounds, 3 steals plus blocks versus the Spurs in that W. So, you know, I got to give him that dub at the end of the day. He was in there. And at center, who else but Victor Wembanyama? 50 points versus the Wizards. He did his thing. You know, I am a known Wimby hater. Not the biggest fan of him, but he deserves to be in here. For honorable mention, I got Karl Anthony Towns. Versus the Bulls, he put up 46 points and 10 rebounds. And for honorable mention, let's kick it off. It was SGA, the first one. He had 45 points and a W versus the Clippers on Monday. Followed up by Tari Eason and Amin Thompson. Being a Rockets fan, they deserve to be on here, all right? They, in all the games this week, they have caused havoc defensively. And they've brought a bunch of energy off the bench to allow the Rockets to win some of these games close. So, they're in there just because of that. Next up, Jordan Poole. In the game versus Wimby, he had 42 points and 6 assists in the loss. Next up is Nikola Jokic, who had 37 points, 18 boards, and 15 assists. A triple dub. Hell, man, you could argue for him to be a center, but, you know, I'd give Wimby that spot. He beat the Mavericks to kick the week off on Monday. Followed up by Jokic is Jared McCain, the rookie. He had 34 points and 10 assists versus the Cavs in a loss. Dyson Daniels and Jalen Johnson, the Hawks. Dyson Daniels has been all over the court. I think he's had the most steals in a 5-game stretch we've seen in a long time, man. He deserves it. Jalen Johnson had a triple-double earlier in the week versus the Celtics in a game they won. Huge game for both men. Combined, they had 46 points, 17 assists, and 9 steals when they beat the Celtics. So, you know, they had to get on there. Next up, we got Steph, who had 37 points on versus the Mavs. And then he proceeded to have 36 points versus the Thunder on Monday. So, shit. He did his thing all week, all right? So, you know, he got to get in there. And then next, we got, to finish it off, Tyler Hero and Afrin Sengun. Tyler Hero had 40 points and 4 steals in the L versus the Pistons early in the week. I told you guys to watch that game, and it was a good one. And then Afrin Sengun on Monday, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. Sengun had 27 points and 17 boards versus the Wizards in a W. And unfortunately, I got my dates wrong. Jokic's triple dub, that was on Sunday. But, you know, he was an honorable mention. So, really didn't mess up anything. But when I said Monday, Sunday, Tuesdays, hey, messed those 3 days up. So, forgive me about that. But, yeah, that was the second edition of the Born to Ball podcast NBA Team of the Week. Let me read it off one more time. Point guard, De'Aaron Fox. Shooting guard, Cam Thomas. Small forward, Giannis. Power forward, AD. Center, Wimby. Six-man, Cap. And honorable mention, SGA. Tari Eason. Amin Thompson. Jordan Poole. Nikola Jokic. Jerick McCain. Dyson Daniels. Jalen Johnson. Stephen Curry. Tyler Hero. And Afrin Sengun. So that's it for the second edition of the Born to Ball podcast, NBA Team of the Week. Congratulations to these men. Huge honor, you know. Hopefully they put this on their basketball reference. What would you call that? The legacy? No, accomplishments. Excuse me. Hopefully they put that under their accomplishments that they made the Born to Ball podcast NBA Team of the Week. But that's it for basketball right now. We're going to hop in the NFL in what will be this very quick episode, and we're going to talk about this Sunday to come, which is in roughly 10 hours or so. So, big Sunday, enjoyers. Get ready and enjoy this beautiful day tomorrow. But, yeah, let's talk a little NFL. And so, tomorrow, NFL Sunday, we got a stacked day, all right? I wouldn't lie to you, man. a few games for seeding and division implications, a few rivalry games. So a lot to get into, a lot to watch, and let's talk about it. So first game we're going to talk about is the 4-6 Colts versus the 3-7 Jets. Anthony Richardson, I think, will be the quarterback for this game, if I'm not mistaken. They're going to go with him for the rest of the season like it should have always been. And I think that is the right decision. He was always going to be a raw prospect coming out. You're probably not going to make the wild card with how stacked the AFC is. But if you are, it's because you win a game like this. You look at their schedule. They get the Jets, and followed by that, you get the Lions. And then you get the Patriots, Broncos, Titans, and Giants. You kind of control your own destiny, if I'm not mistaken. Like, the Lions are probably your toughest game left. You lose to the Lions, you're sitting there at, let's say you beat the Jets, you're 5-7. You're 5-7 playing the Patriots, Broncos, Titans, Giants, and Jags. You very well could walk out being 10-7 if Anthony Richardson can lock in. But if you lose to the Jets, that's just a tough one. But on the Jets side of things, I mean, you lose this game, you're practically out. I had them, even after beating the Texans, dropping one or two to the Cardinals and Colts. Already got blown out by the Cardinals, and they very well could lose to the Colts. But after the Colts game, the Jets got the Seahawks, Dolphins, Jags, Rams, Bills. I don't see an 8-loss team making the AFC wild card. I just don't see that happening. So I think with this loss, they're eliminated. Because you still have the Seahawks, the Dolphins, Rams, Bills on your schedule, and Dolphins again. So I think those are a bunch of teams that can beat you. But overall, when I look into this game, it's whoever can run the ball the most, honestly. I think the Colts can succeed at that. They had a, I would say, good start versus the Bills, but I think that was more of the Bills having a slow start last week. So they're gonna need to start off fast. Don't let this Devontae Adams, Garrett Wilson, Aaron Rodgers offense get to cooking. You know, you might regret that. So I think it's best if you start off well and get that running game going, let Anthony Richardson hit a few guys, get his confidence up, and I think this game is going to be close for the most part, but at the end of the day, give me the Colts to win this one. You know, I kind of underestimated them when I first said, you know, they're probably not going to make the playoffs. I think I'm lying to myself. They very well can beat the Jets, lose to the Lions, and win out. I think that is a real possibility for the Colts, but all of it depends on the shoulders of Anthony Richardson. If he can stay consistent and not be so turnover prone, but give me the Colts in this game, and yeah, let's talk the next one, which will be the Packers and Bears. A huge rivalry game for the Bears, as they are 4-5, and you know, the playoffs, they're very much still in the picture. You know, 4-5 at week 11, you're still in the picture, even as ugly as it seems. They're gonna need to show up though offensively. I mean, hell, I need Caleb Williams. I need the guys to reload. You know, their OC just got fired, so maybe they can get some of that new play caller juice and lock in, because your season is still alive. But for a lot of Bears fans, this has been a terrible season in their eyes. You know, for me, I had them making the playoffs easily. Granted, I underestimated the Commanders, the Vikings, so a lot of teams rose while, you know, they kind of died down. But at the end of the day, some of these good teams got to lose. And on the Packers side of things, Jordan Love's healthy. I think they were on a bye last week. So, you know, they're going to have to stay healthy. Jordan Love, Josh Jacobs. My opinion, I got to get in some form of upset, you know, this week. And I think this is the one. Give me the Bears beating the Packers. For Bears fans, there's nothing more than they want to do but beat the Packers. And I think today's the day. Tomorrow's the day. I think they can do it. I don't know, you know, I don't know if I'm talking out my ass or maybe I'm just predicting the future, because I think this Bears team with the new play caller, got that new play caller juice, I think they're going to benefit from that, and they are going to win this one close. You know, this is going to be a good game, and I just hope it's not a blowout, man. If the Packers win, I just hope it's not a blowout. So give me the Bears to win that one. Josh Jacobs, Jordan Love, DeAndre Swift, Caleb Williams. I think, like I said, with the Colts and Jets, whoever can start to run the ball, whoever can come out fast, can win the game. And that's the recipe for the whole NFL. If you can run the ball and start off fast, you can win the game. But honestly, today, on Saturday, I got the Bears winning this one. I'm going with my heart. Next up, Lions versus Jaguars. Trevor Lawrence is out again. Give me the Lions. This is a no-brainer. Mac Jones is just not going to beat this defense. It's just going to be a blowout day for the Lions. I mean, Jared Goff, hell, before those five interceptions, his ratio was pretty solid. But, damn, dude, five interceptions kind of tanked his ratio. I think he will. I think he will get a shot to stat pad today. Excuse me, tomorrow. Jahmyr Gibbs is going to have a good day. Overall, I think it's going to be a solid day for the whole squad. You're just going to beat up on this depleted, injured, sad Jaguars team. So, give me the Lions. Next up, you got the Raiders and Dolphins. Give me the Dolphins in this one. No-brainer. I don't care if it's Desmond Ridder, Aiden O'Connell, Gardner Minshew. Give me the Dolphins in this one. I think it's going to be a big offensive explosion for Tua, Jalen Waddle, Devon Achane, and Tyreek Hill. Last week, you know, versus the Rams I talked about earlier, you know, it wasn't pretty. That whole game wasn't pretty, but right now, hell, I'm going to go with the Dolphins just because, you know, their team is just better. Mike McDaniels, I think he's just going to outcoach Antonio Pierce. Overall, it's just a better team versus a bad team. That's all it is. I mean, the Raiders aren't good at all. Max Crosby might get a sack or two, but yeah, just give me the Dolphins. Next up, and probably another no-brainer, give me the Rams beating the Patriots. Patriots are coming off a great win versus the Bears. You know, Drake May did beat Caleb Williams, so a lot of momentum, a lot of positivity going out through that whole Patriots organization. But at home, the Rams had just lost the game. Going to need to bounce back immediately. I think this will be the game to do so. If the Patriots do win this game, it's going to be winning the turnover battle. If they can force a few interceptions, you know, off Matthew Stafford, I know a few is insane, but, you know, he can give them up. You know, they're going to pass the ball a lot. If you can get one or two, maybe get a fumble go your way. If you can win a turnover battle and can run the ball, this game is yours to win at home. So, I trust Drake May. He's just going to have to protect the ball, and yeah, it's going to be an interesting one. But give me the Rams. Next up in what would probably be the snoozer of the week, you got Jameis Winston on a revenge game versus the New Orleans Saints. Give me the Saints doing this one. I think that Browns seems depleted, injured, depressed, already cooked. The Saints, this is a hard game to choose, man. This is honestly, if I had a bet on a game being a tie, this would probably be the one, all right? This is a horrible game, man. I don't even know if Red Zone should show some of these clips because you got a bunch of injured guys. Rashid Shaheed's out. I think Chris Olave's still out. Alvin Kamara versus, I think, Nick Chubb. I don't even know if Nick Chubb plays, does he? I think he does, but anyways, this game is, I'm not really looking forward to it, but if I had to pick a winner, give me the Saints. Next up, Baltimore versus Pittsburgh. Ooh, it's going to be an interesting one. I'm excited for this one because it kind of is going to determine on who's winning the North, you know. I think both teams will play again down the line, but hell, Steelers got to play the Chiefs. Ravens got to play the Eagles. I mean, whoever wins this game is going to probably drop another one, so this one's very important. You got the Steelers at home. You got Russell Wilson, Najee Harris, George Pickens. I think they can win this game if George Pickens has a day. If he doesn't, then I don't know. But it's going to be huge to attack this secondary. There we go. Sorry, I'm watching Mizzou versus South Carolina right now. But yeah, this is going to be huge for the Steelers. No, Mike Tomlin, he's been cooking it up, but if they can attack that secondary early and just continue to attack it all day, if Russ can cook, they can go deep. This is a winnable game, but, you know, for the Ravens, Kyle Hamilton is back, so, you know, one of the better safety, I think the best safety in the game is back lurking, so it's not going to be all easy, man, but I expect this to be a very entertaining game. Sorry, just got my eyes on this TV, but overall, on the Ravens side of things, if you're able to establish the run and, God, Lamar can scramble, Derrick Henry is not getting tackled, then I don't see a way you lose this game. But, hell, it's all about what your defense can do. Nobody's questioning Lamar, Derrick Henry, Mark Andrews, Zay Flowers. Nobody's questioning them. My thing is, if this team was to get bounced in the first round, second round, AFC Championship game, Super Bowl, if they were to lose, I'm telling you, it's because that other team dogged out their defense. Struggle to get pass rush. If it wasn't for the Bengals O-line on that Thursday night football game, hell, they were one of the worst pass rush win rate teams. You know, they just weren't good at that, man. But, you know, they ended up getting a lot of pressures on Joe Burrow. Justin Madubuike had a lot of sacks. Overall, if it wasn't for that Bengals game, they would probably be still in the bottom, teams in terms of winning on a pass rush. But overall, I'm gonna go with the Ravens with this one. Big game feel. Steelers haven't felt this in a good minute. Ravens kind of are in these games a lot, like the Chiefs, Bills, Bucks. They are in big games. I wouldn't say big games, but this is a divisional one. I wouldn't be shocked if it went either way. So I'm not gonna be shocked if Pittsburgh wins by a tutty or two tutties, or Ravens win by a tutty or two tutties. I wouldn't be shocked. All right. I love the Steelers and Ravens games. Every year they deliver, and they're gonna do it again. All right. So give me the Ravens to win this one. I'm gonna put my trust in Lamar. Even though it's hard to take him against Mike Tomlin, just give me Lamar. Next up, you got the Vikings versus the Titans. Give me the Vikings. Sam Darnold, Justin Jefferson. They just beat the Jaguars. Another low level team. I think it's just important you win these games, and the goal ahead of you is still to hopefully win that division. If not, make the wild card, because it's a big momentum swing in the organization. Even with your rookie quarterback who you took in the top 15 was injured, when everybody doubted you, if you were to make the playoffs and you use that momentum heading into the draft, signing free agents, training camp, that's huge. That's big momentum. All right. So for the Vikings, the goal is still ahead of them to do what they need to. And yeah, I don't think this will be a trap game. Give me the Vikings. Next up, in what is, I think can be a heat of a game, the Falcons and Broncos. You got the 6-4 Falcons versus the 5-5 Broncos. Justin Simmons, the former Bronco, returns to Denver. Bo Nix versus Kirk Cousins. I think this will be a very good game. You got two, I want to say two wild card teams. Of course, the Falcons are leading the South, but you got an AFC wild card team, the Broncos, who just lost to the Chiefs. They should have beat the Chiefs, but he put a Twitter user out there for that guard spot on field goal, and he got his ass busted. But pause. It's gonna be a great game, I think, between these teams. I'd give the slight upper hand to the Broncos at home. Bo Nix has been playing very well. Big fan of him. But the Falcons, Bijan, God, this is one of the harder games to choose because both teams are good in my opinion, and I like both teams a lot. I like both teams a lot, man. My opinion, I would go with the Falcons. Yeah, I go the Falcons on the road. I think this will be a stamped win. You travel to versus another good team. I think you can win this game. If the Falcons are to win this game, though, I think it's going to be another stellar game for Bijan Robinson. I think he's just such an elite player. I think, if he shows up big time, this Falcons team can win a lot of games, and they've done that so far this year with 6 wins. So, my opinion, you got to give me the Falcons. The Broncos, if they win this one, I wouldn't be shocked. I think if Bo Nix can once again play a clean game, no turnovers, not force yourself into too many sacks, if they can run the ball a little, wouldn't be shocked if the Broncos won this one. But overall, right now, give me the Falcons. Next up, we have Seattle and San Francisco. Another NFC West battle. We got, two teams that have always gave good games. These teams know how to play, all right? They just know what to do. All right? But you got two teams, 4-5, 5-4. Niners are getting healthy, trying to find their feet again. George Kittle is questionable, but overall, CMC's back, Debo, Brock, Juwan Jennings, Brandon Ayuk, of course, out for the year. But a lot of these guys are getting back healthy, and it's kind of spooky for the rest of the NFC because, hell, I believe in this team when they're healthy. Kyle Shanahan is a great play caller. He knows what to do in every game but the Super Bowl, all right? So I wouldn't be shocked if the Niners decided to make a run, but this is a game to see if they can do that. If they can blow out the Seahawks or handle them, they can make a run. If they lose this game, though, I think their season is good as done. Yes, they might win the West. Yes, they might make the playoffs, but I wouldn't believe to make anything shake over Philly or the Lions. But for the Seahawks side of things, you have to run the ball. Every week I talk about the Seahawks. If they win the game, it's because they run the ball. If they lose the game, it's because they can't run the ball. Zach Charbonnet, I think, is Kenneth Walker healthy? Yeah. You're gonna need these guys, all right? Geno, we know DK, JSN, Tyler Lockett, you got ballers right there, man. But you got to run the damn ball, all right? When they run the ball, they are a good team because, boom, you can play action it with Geno. He can run a little. He's got great targets, man, all right? just learn how to run a ball in this game, damn it. You know, it's going to be a close game. Division, rivals, they hate each other. So this one is going to be close, but give me the Niners, though, at home. Brock Purdy, CMC back. I'm going to just take the better team in this game. So, yeah, give me the Niners, and it's going to be a close one for sure. Lastly, for the afternoon slate, we got the Chiefs and Bills. Two teams suffering with injuries. Of course, Harrison Butker just got injured. You got, of course, a lot of guys out. Charles Omenihu, Isaiah Pacheco, Rashee Rice, you know. A lot of teams, both teams have injuries, though. Keon Coleman, Dalton Kincaid will be out for the Bills. So, both offenses got injuries. Both defenses got injuries as well. So, they aren't that healthy. But, at the end of the day, this is going to be a good game regardless, though. Patrick Mahomes is 2-0 in Buffalo. Of course, Josh Allen is 3-1 in the regular season. But, Patrick Mahomes has performed a lot better in Buffalo, man. As a Chiefs homer, give me the Chiefs. I'm very confident in the Chiefs. I believe in this defense. No Dalton Kincaid. They still got Dawson Knox, so I might bet the overall Dawson Knox tomorrow. But with no Keon Coleman, you got Khalil Shakir, and I think Amari Cooper might play. I think he is probably going to play. So, in my opinion, I'm going to take the Chiefs defense over the Bills. I know it's a offense and defense thing, but hell, I believe in the Chiefs offense to run the ball, get those key first downs, be amazing on third down, and hopefully with Harrison Butker out, you can be a little more aggressive in the red zone. You know, you can also be aggressive and conservative. You're not probably going to take a 50-50 ball with D-Hop on 3rd-and-2 in the red zone. You're probably going to either scramble and get that first, or you're going to try to throw a short to Travis Kelce. So you probably are going to have to play a lot smarter in the red zone with a backup kicker in the game. I just hope you're able to run the ball efficiently. And your defense just has to limit Josh Allen to scramble. Can't allow James Cook to run all over you. Like I said, you got to guard a tight end. Dawson Knox has had big games in the past versus us, so I hope that doesn't happen again. But for the Bills to win this game, they, of course, need to have a fast start. And you have to make sure you can get Kansas City off the field on third down. We're one of the best third down teams in the nation. And, hell, who can stop us? Really, but Josh Allen, in the regular season, it has been successful. He just knows how to beat us in the regular season. But at home, he didn't beat us in 2020 when they played that COVID game. I think it was like on a Tuesday or something. Maybe a Monday afternoon game, excuse me. But at the end, like I said, give me the Chiefs. For the Bills, like I said, to win this game, get them off on third down. Start off fast, but if the Bills are to start off slow, give me the Chiefs. But another key thing is the turnover differential. The Bills don't turn the ball over a lot. They don't. The Chiefs, they kind of do turn the ball over. Especially when it comes to interceptions and stuff. I think the huge thing is the Buffalo Bills can force a lot of fumbles. That's one of their things they can do. So for the Chiefs, you have to protect that ball. All right. With Juju, Xavier Worthy, D-Hop, McColl, Kareem Hunt, Carson Steele, Samaje Perine. With all these guys, you're going to have to learn how to protect that ball, all right? It's just going to have to be important, all right? Whoever wins the turnover differential, or if there are no turnovers, is going to win the game. I know that no turnovers makes no sense. But if there are no turnovers in the game, give me the Chiefs. If there are turnovers and Buffalo wins the turnover differential, give me Buffalo, man. But to end the day off, we got a sneaky, amazing quarterback battle. I don't know why I said sneaky, but got two great quarterbacks in Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow. Of course, two class of 2020 guys. Don't know why I just stuttered there. You got two teams looking to get in the wild card. The Chargers 6-3, Bengals 4-6. Bengals are traveling to LA. You know, that really doesn't mean anything. But after the Chargers, they got the Steelers, Cowboys, Titans, Browns, Broncos, and Steelers. This is a huge game to win. You don't want to have 7 losses at week 11. You just don't want to do that. You've yet to have your bye, so that's kind of huge, but you don't want to have 7 losses. So, sorry, Mizzou just gave up a touchdown, man. But, yeah, this is a must win for the Bengals. Should have beat the Ravens last week, but you couldn't. And it is what it is. Now you regroup with a decent rest time, and You get Justin Herbert and the Chargers. You know, Chargers are a little better, one of the better defenses in the league. Justin Herbert has been playing very efficient. He's been looking elite. So this is going to be a good one, Sunday Night Football. But give me the Bengals. You know, the Bengals are in a dire situation. You got T. Higgins back, Ja'Marr Chase, Joe Burrow. They are in a dire situation. They know they need this win. The Chargers are, they can afford to drop one or two more games. They still have to play the Chiefs, but this is a game they can't afford to lose. But you do look at their schedule, though. It is a little tough. After you get the Bengals, you get the Ravens. After the Ravens, you get the Falcons. After the Falcons, you get the Chiefs. And after the Chiefs, you get the Bucks. And then you get the Broncos again. Yeah, it's a tough schedule for the Chargers, but I think this is a game they end up losing because I just think the Bengals' firepower and the fact that this is a much needed game for them. Give me the Bengals. But that's it for NFL talk, you know, on this special Saturday Born a Ball podcast episode. That was 35 minutes, excuse me, of action. Real quick, I'm about to rant about what I just watched last night with the damn Mike Tyson and Jake Paul fight. Of course, Jake Paul was going to win that. That was obvious as ever. I thought, you know, Mike wasn't going to keep up. There was no way Mike was going to knock him out in the first round. That wasn't going to happen, all right? I thought it was very obvious that Mike was going to lose that one. But the worst part of it was the Netflix stream. Netflix is streaming two NFL games on Christmas. The Ravens and Texans and the Chiefs and Steelers. I think Chiefs and Steelers are first, but anyways, they need to be better prepped for that because the what I went through, there's no way I can watch those NFL games. All right? Like that can't happen again. All right? They have to come out and publicly say it is going to be a better experience. Because hell, a lot of people are going to put Netflix, even if they're going to watch NBA on Christmas, they are going to watch that game on Netflix, all right? So they're gonna have to figure something out, all right? And then you got WWE Raw coming to Netflix too. How is that gonna work for the first night they have it, huh? I know this is probably gonna be the most viewers you get because it's a Friday night. Not many people are doing enough a lot. Why not? Why aren't you gonna watch this boxing match? You know, late, mid to November. You know, so a lot of people are at home watching this. You know, but it's gonna be even more people on Christmas. So, I just hope Netflix fixed their shit, man. All right? No more lagging, no more buffing, no more 25%, none of that. All right? I just had a rant to you guys real quick, but I'm gonna end it off right here. If you made it all the way this far, thank you so much. You are the GOAT. You are the MVP. You deserve all the love in the world, all right? So, thank you so much. And I'll catch you guys on Monday. Peace out.